Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves here as we launch into the third hour. There's plenty of time for you with your thoughts at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. If we get the chance, Danica's got a story from Photography Is Not a Crime out of Illinois, which is one of the worst places to be if you want to record the police. We'll tell you what happened there. But to start things out here this hour, I want to catch up on the Silk Road trial. Ross Ulbricht, the man accused of running the Silk Road, the most infamous underground marketplace known to mankind, has been taken offline by the federal government back in 2013. Ross has been sitting in a prison cell awaiting his trial, which started last week. So week number two at this point has completed. And Andy Greenberg at Wired.com has been one of the reporters on the scene throughout the entire thing so far and has done a great job of kind of keeping us up to
date.
That's
where I've been keeping up with it, is from Wired.
There's been a few other sources, Ars Technica, as well as the Daily Dot, but Wired. Greenberg's been following this since before the trial. Greenberg originally actually was the only person to have ever interviewed Dread Pirate Roberts, as I understand it, publicly. That article was posted by him in 2013, and in point of fact, his article is apparently not going to be allowed into the court, or at least thus far it has not yet been allowed. There may be some objections that could allow it in, I think, but anyway, nonetheless, let's just recap real briefly here for you. Ross Ulbricht, accused of running the Silk Road, facing maybe his entire life in prison for computer hacking, actually conspiring to commit hacking, conspiring to money launder, conspiring to sell drugs, and then a kingpin charge has been leveled against him. He has a very expensive defense team, and on the first day, they did something pretty shocking. They said he did, in point of fact, program the Silk Road, that he was the creator of the software that ran the website, but also they claimed that he abandoned the site, gave it up to another operator later on, like a few months in, and then was somehow snookered back in into running the site, thereby being set up to take the fall for running it. He's allegedly the fall guy. They suggested last week that a CEO of a different Bitcoin-related website, Mt. Gox, which is infamously known for scamming people, was allegedly Dread Pirate Roberts, and then that information that was given to the jury at the time was then later retracted by the judge in a post-testimonial motion that the prosecution made. So that kind of brings us up to this week.
And it was thrown out as hearsay, so correct, the DHS agent's investigation that is not related to Ross Ulbricht is hearsay, even though the investigation happened. It was this DHS agent, Gerardo Yegian, that was doing the investigation. But because he was investigating the person that's not the defendant, it is somehow hearsay.
Yeah, for some reason, parts of that testimony were stricken after the fact, but the jury still heard it, and so there's that. So, moving on, there was some journal entries that were revealed this week. Ross Ulbricht allegedly had a journal on his computer, and I think we covered some of that earlier, and that may be touched on here in the story by Wired Magazine's Andy Greenberg. But more of what this touches on is the fact that on Thursday, the friend of Ross Ulbricht, a previous friend of his, in whom Ross confided that he was running the Silk Road, the friend took the stand to testify against Ross. So as the trial of alleged Silk Road mastermind Ross Ulbricht unfolds, its transcript has read like a manual of things not to do when running a secret billion-dollar online drug conspiracy. But on Thursday, the jury heard about the most human of all the errors Ulbricht may have made, confessing his creation to an in-real-life friend. In a Manhattan courtroom Thursday, Austin, Texas-based eBay software engineer Richard Bates took the stand to testify against Ulbricht, his college friend and one-time programming partner. From late 2010 until at least 2011, Bates says he gave Ulbricht coding advice on a project that Ulbricht described as top secret. And when Bates ultimately refused to offer any more assistance unless Ulbricht shared the details of that project, he says that Ulbricht showed him the Silk Road for the first time and right there on the laptop in his home. I told him, "Tell me about this or leave me out of it," said Bates, a pale programmer with slicked back hair and black-rimmed glasses who wore a worried grimace during his entire questioning by the prosecution. He told me about it. By November of 2011, because Ulbricht was desperate. He was desperate for help. He couldn't handle. He was not an expert programmer, believe it or not, when he created the Silk Road. Essentially, he was more not. He was little more than an idea man who had the technical chops to get something running, but he needed a lot of help. And so, in order to get help from somebody that he could trust, because you know, you ask the guys on the internet who are on your black market website, you don't know if those are cops, you don't know who the hell they are, you don't know if they're malicious programmers are going to put a back door in your site. So he went with somebody he could trust, or at least so he thought. And I think that he could trust him. We'll talk more about that issue here in a little bit. We'll just give you a recap of what happened first. So, by November of 2011, Bates testified. Ulbricht would tell him that he had sold the Silk Road and was no longer involved. But the prosecution also showed a chat log from the next month, pulled from Ulbricht's computer, in which Ulbricht seems to tell an associate involved in the Silk Road that he lied to two people about selling off the site, and in fact, still maintained control over it. So again, Ross's position was that he abandoned the site and gave over control to somebody else, but yet they showed a chat log where he was bragging that, you know, he had actually, in point of fact, lied about that, and to his friend, to throw him off the trail.
Friend and girlfriend at the time.
That's correct. That was who the second person was. In which Ulbricht seems to tell the associate. Okay, so according to Bates, Ulbricht's initial confession in early 2011 had revealed that he was working on a website where people can buy drugs. Using a neighbor's open Wi-Fi to assuage Bates' concerns about surveillance, he showed Bates the site. Quote, "I remember seeing the homepage, the green camel, for the first time, and pictures of drugs," unquote, said Bates in response to questions from prosecutor Timothy Howard. He said, "I was shocked and very intrigued. I didn't know how something like this could be possible." Despite all the evidence piled against Ulbricht, which includes screenshots of his seized laptop taken from him while he was logged into the Silk Road's mastermind page, and a journal on that PC documenting his thoughts and activities allegedly running the site, Bates' testimony could be particularly damning. The defense, after all, has argued that Ulbricht created the Silk Road only as an economic experiment before giving it up to the real operators of the site, who would expand it into a narcotics empire and then later frame Ulbricht. Now, some of the evidence we talked about on Wednesday night was pointing out that Ulbricht had the idea that he had given the site up to other operators. They showed chat logs that he had created the name Dread Pirate Roberts. So the suggestion that early on in this trial was that he wasn't ever Dread Pirate Roberts, but it's sounding like that he was Dread Pirate Roberts in the beginning, and that, again, his claim is that he gave the title up. Now, whether or not that's true still remains to be seen. Going on here with the story from Wired.com, in fact, Bates wasn't the only one of Ulbricht's contacts who knew about his involvement in the Silk Road. Bates told the court so did his girlfriend at the time, Ulbricht's girlfriend, Julia, and a third person that she had told. Bates himself, this is the problem with secrets, as soon as you tell one person or two,
it's no longer a secret.
Yeah, you might as well consider that a dozen have been told it, because you don't know who going to tell.
What's the old saying, three can keep a secret if two are dead?
Yeah, exactly. So Bates says he tried to tell a friend about his involvement in the Silk Road, but wasn't sure if she'd gotten the message. He said, "I tried to confide in a friend of mine, but I don't think it was communicated across. We were both drunk." Bates told the jury that he'd first met Ulbricht during their time together as an undergraduate student at the University of Texas in Dallas. They once went on a spring break trip together, and then they reconnected in 2010 when Bates moved to Austin, where Ulbricht lived at the time, and went cliff jumping a few weeks later. By late 2010, Bates says, they saw one another on a weekly basis. Around that time, Ulbricht began to ask Bates very frequent questions about PHP and server administration, often over Google chat. But when Bates asked about the nature of Ulbricht's project, Ulbricht refused to say more. Eventually, Bates wrote to Ulbricht saying, quote, "I'm officially forbidding you from mentioning your secret project to me again unless you're going to reveal it." Soon after that, Ulbricht revealed his secret, said Bates. Despite his initial shock, Bates said he continued to advise Ulbricht on the Silk Road programming problems, helping him in March of 2011, for instance, to deal with a major site outage. The two would work later together on plans for a Bitcoin exchange that Bates confirmed in response to the prosecutor's questions, and Bates also used the Silk Road to buy drugs under the pseudonym Melee, listing marijuana, ecstasy, psychedelic mushrooms, Vicodin, and antibiotics among those that he had purchased. He also told the jury that Ulbricht has personally given him a bag of psychedelic mushrooms that he'd grown and stored in a large black trash bag. I'll tell you more about this friend of Ross's and how it all went down here in moments, according to the testimony yesterday in Manhattan's federal courts.
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand
it's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market,
making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing. To be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101ReasonsFilm.com. 101ReasonsFilm.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Worried about getting sick and feeling terrible for days or even weeks? You need Immudyne for a healthy immune system. Why get sick and bother with products that just don't work? For just a dollar a day, Immudyne is all natural and safe for all lifestyles. Call 866-257-8668 to buy now before it's too late, before you get sick. Or go to immudyne.com, Immudyne.com, or call 866-257-8668.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
It's Free Talk Live. You dial toll free here and bring up anything you'd like at 855-450-FREE. We will continue the coverage of the Silk Road case. Ross Ulbricht looking at years in a federal prison for the, well, they're claiming crime of creating a website. He ran the Silk Road. He created the Silk Road. He has admitted to that much, which makes me think that unless someone on the jury knows about jury nullification, then he's going to get found guilty of something. And you basically have people testifying that Ross was not only the creator of the Silk Road, but that he also was the first seller on the Silk Road, selling his narcotics, or not narcotics, but the mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, that he had grown in a cabin in Bastrop, Texas. And now his own friend from college, who helped him program the Silk Road, has claimed that Ross gave him a bag full, a trash bag full of psychedelic mushrooms. So you've got some pretty solid testimony here that's making it sound like, you know, first of all, we know Ross Ulbricht admitted to having created the Silk Road. That was in the opening statements. Now we have a friend of his testifying he got psychedelic mushrooms from Ross, so that pretty much sews up the conspiracy to distribute drugs.
Not necessarily, because there's no unless he kept these mushrooms for 3 years, there's no physical evidence.
Sure, but
this happened.
But he's testifying to it, and that's all the jury is going
to
care about.
I can testify to an alien abduction. It does not convict the alien.
Do you think that the defense attorney, if defense attorney Joshua Dreitel gets up and says on cross-examination of this friend and says, "Well, sir, can you produce those mushrooms today?" Aha! Uh-huh. You can't? Well, then you can't prove it. Motion to dismiss. And, of course, the judge will override that motion. And so then the jury's going to take in this information from this best friend of Ross Ulbricht saying he got psychedelic mushrooms from him. That's all that's all they're going to need.
That is not beyond a reasonable doubt. That's probably, you know, clear and convincing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you had somebody say it, so it must be. But clear and convincing does not convict in a criminal case.
Hmm. Well, a jury convicts, and it doesn't matter. You know, if they're convinced enough, that's all it'll take.
Right, but they are told beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay.
Reasonable doubt means if there is anything that seems logical to you.
You've also got journal entries allegedly written by Ross found on his computer that also talk about the growing and selling of those mushrooms. So you've got it corroborated there as well. Now, the defense seems to be trying to introduce some doubt that he actually kept this journal and that the journal was somehow planted on his computer, which sure does sound pretty far-fetched, doesn't it? I mean, the suggestion, there was a question in court. Now, this was, I think, this was on Thursday, I believe, or maybe Wednesday, but either way, sometime this week, one of the federal agents was asked, one of the tech guys that they had on the stand talking about his journals and acquiring them from the computer and all that. The cross-examination of this guy was, well, you know, couldn't there have been malware that could have put, you know, somebody would have allowed someone access to Ross's computer to plant things there? And, you know, in theory, yeah, that could have happened. And then the redirect on that was, well, did you scan for malware and was there malware? And he said no. Now, of course, the federal agent could be lying.
Right.
And, yes, there could be someone who planted malware on Ross Ulbricht's computer. But what are the odds that that would happen? How would Ross Ulbricht, and maybe this will all be explained, you know, in testimony at some point, but how would Ross Ulbricht have allowed anyone from the Silk Road website who could have had some sort of false journal that they'd put together to plant that on his website in advance of the feds? Now, maybe you could argue the feds planted it. That would seem more likely that some random administrator.
That's what I was going to say, is it's possible that the real Dread Pirate Roberts was working with the feds, gave them the files, and said, here, just, you know, whenever you get the computer, just put this on the C drive.
It's certainly that is certainly possible.
That is possible. There's been known to do that.
They lie. All cops, lots of cops lie. I say all of them do, but lots of cops lie, and certainly the feds are no stranger to telling lies.
And when they lie, they have protections.
Right.
That they are given all kinds of immunities. They can lie on the stand.
However,
and still not wind up getting convicted of perjury because they have immunity.
Yeah, we saw that happen in the Rich Paul case. So let me go on here with some of the testimony from yesterday from the friend of Ross Ulbricht. This is the guy who helped him create the website, and Ulbricht ultimately admitted to him what he was doing. So Bates, this is the friend, says that he purchased drugs from the Silk Road, several different types of drugs, and that Ulbricht had even personally given him a bag of psychedelic mushrooms. offering more evidence that Olbricht had sold his own homemade mushrooms as the first product on the Silk Road. At one point in 2011, Bates says Olbricht offered him a position as an administrator of Silk Road, but Bates turned him down, telling him he already had a job. The two then planned to create a Bitcoin exchange that could potentially be used to launder money. And that's a quote, apparently, from one of their chats, splitting the profits 60-40 in Olbricht's favor. But Bates says he was busy with his job and never signed the contract that Olbricht created to seal their partnership. Asked how much Olbricht paid for his help on the Silk Road, Bates answered, quote, nothing but his friendship, unquote. Over time, Olbricht seems to have grown increasingly concerned that Bates might reveal him. According to Bates' telling, the prosecution showed the jury the following chat from June of 2011. Olbricht allegedly says, you got to keep my secret, buddy. Bates, I haven't told anyone, and I don't intend to. Olbricht, I know I can trust you. Then, in November of that year, Bates says Olbricht came to his home in a panic. Someone had written on his Facebook page, quote, I'm sure the authorities would be very interested in your drug-running site, unquote. Olbricht had quickly deleted the post and unfriended the person who wrote it. At the time, Bates said he warned Olbricht to shut down the Silk Road. This isn't worth going to prison for, he recalls telling Olbricht. But Bates said that Olbricht answered that, quote, he couldn't shut it down because he'd already sold it to someone else. Did you believe him? Asked the prosecutor. I did, responded Bates. After Bates was dismissed from court later in the day, however, Prosecutor Howard showed the jury a chat log pulled, allegedly, from Olbricht's laptop in December of 2011. In the chat, Olbricht's friend and advisor, known by the name Variety Jones, tells him that he needs to cover his tracks, suggesting for the first time that Olbricht adopt the Dread Pirate Roberts pseudonym. In real life, is there anyone with a clue at all? Variety Jones asks Olbricht. Olbricht responds, quote, there are two, but they think I sold the site and got out a month ago. One, I'll probably never speak to again, and the other I'll drift away from, unquote.
All right, so just real quick, if evidence from the DHS agent that the DHS agent was investigating someone else is considered hearsay and unsubstantiated rumors because it's based simply on a belief and not physical hard evidence,
mm-hmm.
then how are they allowing these chat logs to be admitted as evidence
when they can't prove who wrote them?
When they can't prove, one, who wrote them, two, that Olbricht actually wrote them, or three, why Olbricht even saved them on his computer if he's the one that actually kept them there.
Well, I wonder, yeah, and that leads to the question of, has the defense attorney objected? Has he filed an objection to the use of this evidence, or is he just allowing it?
My guess is he's probably objected, but, you know, the Wired guy's not going to write, you know, the DHS or the defense objected, overruled,
sure.
Objected, overruled.
Of course.
Because, you know, ultimately, you know, after 500 objections and overruled.
We're summarizing a day's worth of testimony in,
right.
You know, two segments here on the radio. So more coming up. There's a little bit more to this story. And then the question of who rolled on who. Did Ross's friend roll on Ross, or did Ross ultimately roll on his friend without intending to?
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back with that here in a moment. 855-450-FREE. It's Free Talk Live.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I hate math.
I've always tried to be a good mother, but when it came to Jamie's math, I was at a loss. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. Concepts are simplified in an easy way to follow and review, and students can learn at their own pace in the convenience of home. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now, 1-800-USA-MATH. That's 1-800-872-6284. Or visit us at mathmadeeasy.com.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE. Maybe you've got some comments on the Ross Ulbricht trial. We've been following it in as detailed of a level as we possibly can here on Free Talk Live without, you know, literally reading a transcript. Sharing with you tonight from Andy Greenberg over at Wired, who has been in the courtroom, that appears every single day. He's done a great job reporting on things. Also, the Liberty Beat's been doing a pretty good job following things, although this week John Bush has not been in New York City. I hear he's flying back out on Sunday to resume his coverage of the trial from there. So we'll look forward to hearing from John maybe at some point next week. We'll get him on the air to kind of give us a rundown.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so again, toll-free number is 855-453. Don't forget, if you want to get gold and silver, you can do that through Midas Resources. And the way to contact them is to go to silver.freetalklive.com. They've got some great hand-picked gold and silver pieces, and you will find that you'll be satisfied with your purchase. I know I've always been when I've done business with Midas. They do a great job, and they're actually the company that helps us get Free Talk Live on over 150 great radio stations from coast to coast, because Midas Resources owns the Genesis Communications Network. So whenever you buy gold and silver through silver.freetalklive.com, a portion of your purchase is basically going to help keep us on the air. So it's a great way to get your gold and silver and help Free Talk Live at the same time. Go to silver.freetalklive.com or call them toll-free at Midas Resources, 877-857-9938. That's toll-free, 877-857-9938, or silver.freetalklive.com. We're talking about some of the chat logs that allegedly allegedly were found on Ross Ulbricht's computer. Now, these are some detailed logs, and there's even a journal that was allegedly written by Ulbricht. Now, the defense seems to be taking the position that somehow this was planted. There's another Wired article that actually has full journal excerpts here. I don't know if it's in the entirety of the journal. I suspect it's not, but they've actually, I don't know how they've gotten their hands on it either, but they've got that up today, and we'll link to a lot of this stuff over on our Facebook page and Google Plus and Twitter. You can go to news.freetalklive.com if you'd like to follow us on social media.
My question is, who keeps old chat logs?
There are a lot of people who log chats. I've got logging turned on my chat here at the studio. Everything for instance, our guys over at the Genesis Communications Network, the board operators have a way of chatting with us, and I could pull up the logs from last week if there was something I wanted to see that we were talking about, like maybe they sent me some info I needed and I forgot to write it down or something.
I can understand maybe keeping it for a while if you want to keep records, but this is a few years worth of chat logs.
Well, once you start logging, if you don't think about it, then it just keeps logging. As long as you don't run out of hard drive space, won't have a problem, and because it's text, it doesn't take up a whole lot of room.
Yeah, true. I guess it just depends on how much you want to save.
The real question is why the hell you would log any chats that have to do with running an underground drug marketplace.
Right, exactly. Something sensitive like that.
So there's reasons to log chats, but in this case, this was a terrible idea, if indeed this is what he did. It was a terrible idea. Anyway, going on here with his friend who took the stand and testified against him yesterday, they shared some of the chats between Dread Pirate Roberts and someone named Variety Jones, who was essentially an advisor of Dread Pirate Roberts online. Variety Jones says, clear your old trail. You're the weak link from those two previous contacts, because Ulbricht allegedly told Variety Jones that he had he'd told two real-life people that he was Dread Pirate Roberts, essentially. And so Variety Jones correctly informs Ulbricht he's the weak link in this operation. When Ulbricht was arrested in October of 2013, Bates, his former buddy from college, said he was visited by FBI agents. He testified that initially he lied to them about his involvement in Silk Road, the aborted Bitcoin exchange, and his drug purchases before eventually confessing. He agreed to serve as a witness against Ulbricht to avoid prosecution. As Bates testified, Ulbricht stared straight ahead, offering no hint of his facial expressions to the press gallery. In cross-examination by Ulbricht's defense, Ulbricht's attorney Joshua Dreitel emphasized to the jury that Bates had agreed to testify against Ulbricht to avoid facing his own legal consequences. Bates admitted, quote, I knew I could go to prison for a very long time. Dreitel asked, pointing to Ulbricht, you chose to be there on the witness stand rather than there as a defendant? At that point, the prosecution objected, and the judge sustained the objection. Bates did not answer the question. Which leads me to the question that I think is worth pointing out in the discussion that's worth having here. It sounds like Bates rolled on his friend, right? Like the cops went after him, they put the pressure on him, they said, look, Bates, we got all this evidence against you, you helped run the Silk Road, are you going to testify, or are we going to have to put you in prison? And like a lot of people have done, he testified against his friend. However, and it would be easy to look at Bates and say, oh, you snitch, you terrible snitch. And I think snitching is one of the most dirtiest things you can possibly do, especially if we're talking about snitching on someone who has not harmed another person. If you're snitching on a murderer, that's one thing. I'm okay with, providing information about someone who's actually committed a crime. But
so at what point does it become snitching? Because snitching is a dirty word.
Yeah.
Like providing evidence of, oh, yeah, that guy running down the street, he's the one that stole the neighbor's car and kicked their cat. That's not snitching.
It's not? Well, I don't know.
Because snitching
does snitching have to be a victimless crime for it to be snitching?
Well, snitching can be, like, say if there's two students, one of them can snitch on the other saying that he cheated, whether he cheated or not. He's still snitching on information. If the other student did, in fact, cheat, he's obviously going to get in trouble, but if he didn't do it, he's still going to get in trouble because now there's this alleged cheating going on that's going to be causing a lot of drama.
I don't know. I've always been of the impression that snitching was only, turning on someone that did not deserve to be turned on.
I don't know. We'll have to look that one up. Check Urban Dictionary, and we'll see what the standard snitching definitions are.
Check Urban Dictionary. You probably can't say it on the air, though.
No, they're not that filthy over there. It's not going to be like a sexy thing. But anyway, so So it looks like he snitched on his friend, right? It looks like he rolled on Russ Ulbricht. But what really happened, if you believe, if the story is true, that these chat logs and the journal were actually Russ's. Okay, so we're going to accept that story as true just for the sake of the argument here. Mm-hmm. If we accept that as true, then ultimately Russ Ulbricht is responsible for his friend being fingered in the first place. Because if Russ hadn't kept those chat logs, again, presuming it's true that he kept these logs and that they weren't somehow fabricated, which seems fairly unlikely, but if Russ hadn't kept those logs, then when his laptop was taken from him, because that's how they got all this information, they took the laptop from him while he was in the library, while he was logged on into Silk Road, allegedly. This is the Fed story. And so they were then able to get driver's license scans from the administrators of the Silk Road. They were able to get these chat logs. They were able to get the journal. The journal, you know, allegedly reveals that he turned this information over to his friend. And so they then went, using Ross's information that they gleaned from Ross, they then went after his friend. So if you look at it from that perspective, Ross inadvertently, through his, you know, mistake of keeping this journal, he kind of rolled on his friend. So I don't think, if anybody was blaming Bates for taking the stand against Ulbricht, I don't think Bates should take the blame. Presuming that journal did belong to Russ Ulbricht and that it does tell the truth, then Russ basically threw his friend under the bus. Do you see where I'm coming from?
I see where you're coming from.
He threw all the administrators under the bus, too. Because he told the administrators, we learned this on Wednesday, he promised his administrators of the Silk Road that he would keep their identification secret. Because in order to work for the Silk Road, they had to send their identification to him so he could, you know, check them out.
Sure,
or whatever.
Of course.
And he promised he would encrypt that. Well, unfortunately, the key to the encryption, he did encrypt it, but the key to the encryption was on his laptop. So the cop was able to get into his encrypted files and reveal who all of the other guys were. So everybody who was busted in relation to the Silk Road, who ultimately may be rolling on Ross, was essentially rolled on by Ross through his mistakes that he made, if you believe the story that the
right
feds are telling.
And I don't think in this case you can say that either person is a snitch. Because they did not willfully and knowingly give up the information.
Right. They were.
They didn't walk up and say, yeah, Mr. Officer Guy, I did it, and I'll tell you everybody that helped me.
Yeah, but you still shouldn't roll on somebody. If you're under pressure, it's still wrong to snitch on somebody. But if it was the person who you're snitching on that actually put you in that position in the first place by putting you under pressure, then ultimately it's that person's fault. More coming up.
Lose the winter blues and warm up with hot flooring deals from Lumber Liquidators. Thinking about hardwood? Consider bamboo. We've got the number one brand, and we'll help you get it for less. Lexstrand Bamboo. It's twice as hard as oak, and for a limited time, only $1.99. Why pay as much as $4.99 for bamboo at other stores? We've got deals in over 70 styles for an incredible $1.79. Plus, pre-finished hardwood, laminate, and more for less than half what you'll pay somewhere else. And 18-month special financing. Now is the time to warm up your home with new floors. So visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used, and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Shop.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, get a great deal, and a portion of your purchase goes to benefit Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon via shop.freetalklive.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're talking about the Silk Road trial. Ross Ulbricht is he going to take a stand? We don't know. There's a possibility. There was some discussion in court yesterday that suggested that he might just do that. We're giving you the latest on the case. It's been developing over the last couple of weeks. This was week number two. I don't think there was anything that actually happened in court today. For some reason, they seem to be taking Fridays off from the trial. Last week on Friday.
Oh, budget cuts.
They took off. This week, they took off. Anyway, presumably it will resume on Monday unless there's another holiday coming up that I'm not aware
of.
Not that I'm aware of.
So we'll continue to follow this case, and you're welcome to share your thoughts with us here. We learned tonight was actually the testimony from yesterday. It wasn't covered on the show last night, but what we learned is that Ross Ulbricht's friend from college took the stand and testified against him. Now, this was after the federal agents allegedly recovered chat logs as well as a journal from Ross Ulbricht's computer that he was in possession of when they arrested him in the library in San Francisco back in 2013. So it was because of his own record-keeping, allegedly, that this friend was identifiable in the first place. The feds then put the squeeze on the friend, and the friend decided to go ahead and testify against Ross in order to avoid going to prison himself for buying drugs on the Silk Road and for helping to create
conspiracy.
Yeah, to conspire to program this underground drug marketplace website.
He aided.
It's a fascinating... What did you say? I'm sorry.
He aided in the creation of
aided.
It.
Aided. Gotcha. So, yeah, it's a fascinating case, and you're certainly welcome to share with us your thoughts. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, and they actually have, over at Wired today, journal entries that are ostensibly from Ross's journal. And it may be worth sharing some excerpts. Was there something that you wanted to add, Daryl, to the discussion?
Well, it seemed as though you kept trying to say that either Ross or the friend, one is a snitch, or both of them are snitches. And I don't think you can apply the term snitch to either of them.
Mm. What's the definition of a snitch?
Well, I tried pulling up Urban Dictionary, and a lot of those definitions you can't really repeat on the radio.
I told you.
But to summarize, a snitch is somebody that is in some way related to the situation, mm-hmm. and then they give information to the authorities.
So isn't that what his friend did, the Bates? He was related to the situation. They put him under pressure, and he gave up information.
Right, but he was approached. A snitch does it without...
Is that part of the definition? Because that's not how I...
That's part of one of the definitions. Okay. There's 500 of them on there, Ian.
Sure, but they're voted up. The most popular ones are voted toward the top.
Right. But, again, snitch is a derogatory term. And as a derogatory term, it can be defined however anybody wants to define it.
So I'm going to define it in this way, that, you know, I think that what you're saying is certainly true, that if somebody just goes, some busybody neighbor, for instance, this is like the classic snitch, right? A busybody neighbor sees too many cars at your house, and so they go to the police saying that they know that drugs are being sold there, right? That's kind of like the basic level of a snitch. No real incentive for that person besides
right.
just being a busybody or mm-hmm. clean up the neighborhood or whatever. Also, it could be like another person that the drug dealer has sold something to that got ripped off. They felt bad about it, so they went and snitched
right.
On that.
So
but it's also snitching when you're under pressure and you roll on somebody, in my opinion. I think that it doesn't matter what predicates the snitching.
Right, but you had tried saying that Ross Ulbrich should be labeled snitch because he had information that gave up Bates. But he did not knowingly give
That's
up
true.
The information. It would be akin to some guy that's not too bright and is always whacked out of his mind having a note in his wallet that says, I buy drugs from Ian mm-hmm. at this location. And then he gets stopped for some reason. The cop searches his wallet and they see the note.
It's an unintentional revealing of critical
not
information.
A snitch.
Just an incompetent person.
If
I said that Ross Ulbrich was a snitch, I'll take that back. I didn't mean to say that. What
you
I was saying was
implied it.
What
if
I was
you
saying
didn't
was
say it.
Is if someone is going to call his friend a snitch, then it would be more appropriate to put the blame on Ross in the first place, because his friend never would have been in the position to roll on Ross had Ross not ultimately unintentionally rolled on him.
Right. So let me finish the scenario that I was giving, where the guy that's always whacked out of his mind has a note, says, I buy drugs from Ian. And so then the cops come to you, and they're like, Ian, do you sell drugs? And you're like, no. And they're, all right, so we're going to put you away for a long time unless you tell us that you sold drugs to this bumbling idiot over here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, yeah, he is a bumbling idiot, sure. I don't think either of those persons could be labeled rightly a snitch.
Like I said, I wasn't trying
They're
to label
both
Ross.
Incompetent.
Right, I wasn't trying to label Ross a snitch, and if I did, I apologize, and I'll
sure
take that back.
It sure sounded as though you did.
I was just saying, if someone out there is listening to the story thinking, oh, that son of a bitch Bates, how mm-hmm. dare he snitch on his friend, my point is he never would have had to. Had Ross not kept, if Ross kept logs and whatever, I mean, how would whoever else might have kept a journal have known about him and his friend? I mean, it just seems pretty implausible
right.
that anyone else besides Ross Ulbrich would have kept these journals and logs. So presuming that's true, all I'm saying is this guy, Bates, doesn't deserve blame for snitching.
It seems as though there was incompetence, massive incompetence.
Right. Bates was put in a position because of what Ross Ulbrich did.
Well, it goes back to the point that I was making, that you really shouldn't be... there's only a few reasons that you should be keeping paperwork for extended periods of time, but after time, you destroy them. Like with tax returns, you keep them for 3 years, and then you destroy
them. You keep them for 3 years?
I think you should keep them on hand
I've
for up to
seven.
3 years. 7 is banks.
Okay.
Yeah, banks have to keep records.
Well, I know they
years.
Say you're supposed to keep them for multiple years.
Right.
I don't keep that crap. I haven't done taxes in a decade.
I realize that. I'm
right.
using it as an example.
No, I'm just saying. That's what I've heard. I've heard seven, and I don't know. I don't know if it's just for banks.
Well, I know it's for banks because I've been working in the banking
right.
industry for a while. You know, we're supposed to keep... like your financial statements on file for 7 years. So, for example, if you purchased a car 5 years ago, you should be able to go back to that very original statement and see it for whatever record keeping or anything else that you need. So there are some instances where it's good to keep a set of files for years, but then just
well, right.
after
That's
a
only
while,
because the gang
spread
is
going
to come after
burn
you and hurt you if you don't keep that information. But in the case of the Silk Road, in the case of being a drug dealer...
I agree. You should have not kept them... on file whatsoever or remove them after a short period of time.
The standard for a drug dealer would be that if you're going to keep a ledger, you keep it encoded in some way. You don't put the person's actual name that you're selling the drugs to. You don't use, you know, indicators like pounds or ounces and things like that. That you know, this is kind of the classic drug dealer thing. If you're going to keep a ledger to keep track of your sales, you use some level of coding on that. But
Right. That
didn't even happen in this case. Yes, his laptop was encrypted, but they busted him with the laptop open, so they were able to get to all of his files, including the key to the other encrypted files that were on that laptop. So let's go to your calls and thoughts. Tommy is in Glasgow on Skype. Tommy.
Hey, they can take our lives, but I'll never take our free talk live.
Thanks, Tommy.
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, listen to you guys. I've been a good show listening, and I didn't know really much about it other than what I've heard through yourselves. And he's either the most incompetent person out there, but it's beginning to look that way. But then you have to give, you know, is he a snitch? Is somebody snitched him? Or is it just a whole government set up? And a government body set up? And I would have to say, you know, it's probably a combination of all three from what it sounds like. To leave the password, to leave the encryption there open, then it's a bad error. And like you say, Dean, earlier on, you know, Most of the people who get caught when they're doing drugs is because of low-level snitches, people in the area, people who get jealous, old green-eyed jealous. But I really feel for a lot of people over there because, you know, the snooping by the government there, it really does sound quite extreme. Is it as bad as it seems? I mean, I'm on the other side of the pond, but, you know, the government, Big Brother, it's bad over here, but would you say it's probably worse over there?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, you guys have the GCHQ over there, I think is what they're called in the UK, which is the equivalent of the
NSA.
That's
the Government Communications Headquarters. We've got the National Surveillance Agency.
Same thing. It's just a different label,
Right. Different
jumble of letters. I mean, I imagine the GCHQ doesn't have the same funding the NSA does, but they share information, and they likely have similar levels of technology.
In London, I think they have more CCTV cameras than
right.
there are people or something.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a really bad
thing. The exact figure is the UK has got 20% of all the CCTV cameras in the world, and we're only 0.1%
wow.
of the world's population.
Well, and then they found out shortly after the install that they didn't do anything to reduce crime and that streetlights does a lot more. Thank you, Tommy. We're out of time for tonight. Then Ian here with you.
Danica.
And Daryl.
Hey, don't forget to check Daryl's websites out, fpp.cc and fppradio.com. We'll see you tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, freetalklive.com. We'll keep you up to date with the Silk Road trial as it develops next week.
Inventory isn't about products, kid. It's about money. Product sitting on shelves is money sitting on shelves. I hate overstock. I hate understock. I hate wasting time. I hate wasting money. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger KeepStock solutions help us manage our facility's inventory so we have exactly what we need when we need it. No more, no less. It's inventory management my way. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Kay Oliver is part of the Tweyambe Women's Group in Jinja, Uganda. She gets old clothes, fixes them up, washes them, and then sells them at the Jinja market. She was quite happy with her success at her business, but realized that a sewing machine would really help her make more money to take care of her two kids. Free Talk Live helped her get that sewing machine. You can help us help more people by getting your coffee through coffee.freetalklive.com. Make a difference. One cup at a time. Get a free pound. Try out the subscription. Cancel at any time. coffee.freetalklive.com.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.